Hey, it's me, Lars Larson. Thanks for checking out my podcast, and be sure to tell a friend about the Lars Larson Show.
Lars. Together, we can forge a new beginning for America.
The 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Now, honestly provocative talk with Lars Larson.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It is a pleasure to be with you, and I'm glad to take your phone calls and emails. Yes, the Democrats have gone absolutely hog wild. One lone Democrat flipped out today and formally filed the articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump, allegedly for obstruction of justice. But is it going to get any traction? And the fact that they've entered it, I'm glad to see it happen. I hope that House Speaker Paul Ryan, for all the other bad things I've said about Paul Ryan, and I think he has been a pathetic Speaker of the House. He is not a great leader of Republicans. But the thing he could do for America right now is to say, let's get those articles of impeachment. Let's assign them to a committee. Let's vote them out of the committee, send them to the floor of the House, and let's have a vote on the articles of impeachment against Donald Trump. And then what's going to happen is the articles will be voted down. It'll never even get to the Senate where they would have the trial and decide whether or not to find President Trump guilty, because the vote is not going to be in favor of impeaching Donald Trump. I've been hearing about the proposed impeachment of President Donald Trump since November the 9th of last year. The day after the election, the Democrats immediately started banging the impeachment drum. And they said, we want to impeach this president. Why? What did he do? He hasn't even taken office yet. They've wanted to impeach him since the day they first saw him as president-elect of the United States. Well, we should call their bluff on it. Let's have a vote. In fact, let's have a big discussion nationwide of whether or not Donald Trump should be impeached. And then let's do it the way the Constitution says you do it. Somebody introduces articles of impeachment. It's funny, too, because I'm seeing a lot of reporters write an article of impeachment. Read the Constitution, would you please? It is articles of impeachment. It sounds like a funny term, but remember, it was written a couple of hundred years ago. But that is the article. That's the term that you use. It's called articles of impeachment, a list of charges that say the president has committed high crimes and misdemeanors. Well, I don't think he has. In fact, I think he's been doing a bang-up job, and he'd do an even better job if the Democrats would get out of the way or get on the Trump train or get out of the way or get run over by it. One or the other, take your pick. President Trump's top pick for the FBI director position, Christopher Wray, testified in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee today. And was Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with a Russian lawyer within his rights, or did he cross the line? There are a number of prominent liberal lawyers, people like Alan Dershowitz and Jonathan Turley, who've looked at this and said, you don't have a leg to stand on to say that any of this was criminal. He broke no law. Now, you can criticize him politically all day long, but that's what the Democrats do best. They criticize politically. It seems like that's all they can do. They're not going to vote for anything. They're not going to vote for reforming Obamacare. They're not going to reduce your taxes. They're not going to stand up to fund America's military appropriately. They're not going to do any of the things that are good for America. But they will criticize politically all day long and twice on Sunday. Well, today, the liberal tech elite is taking part in a so-called Day of Action, an online protest to save net neutrality. Listen, the last thing the internet needs is net neutrality. In the internet, like just about everything else in life, if you pay more, you get more. If you want to get a little less or get a little slower on the internet, why shouldn't you be allowed to pay less? But instead, they seem to want a government to come in and level the playing field and say, no matter how much you pay or how little you pay, you should get the same level of service. What is it exactly they want out of the internet? The internet is an amazing marvel of both technology and capitalism. And now you get the government involved? I've told you before, the government they could screw up an ice cream sundae. They couldn't run a popsicle stand. Oh, and by the way, I'll tell you about a herd of goats that took the jobs of some union members at one school in Michigan. and did the jobs even better than the union members did, and now the union has filed a formal grievance against a herd of goats because apparently these scab goats are taking union jobs. Try to figure out if you would want your union making that kind of claim. By the way, our quick poll tonight has to do with those articles of impeachment filed today. Should President Donald Trump be impeached? I would vote no on that. You're free to vote at LarsLarson.com. And the quick poll is brought to you by AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. It has the great conservative values I believe in. Just go to amac.us to join. You can call and join, 888-262-2006. Join AMAC now. That's amac.us, not .com. AMAC's better. Better for you and better for America. And while you're on the website, check out my new trophy room at LarsLarson.com. Post a picture and a paragraph about your latest hunting or fishing adventure and get a chance to win some fantastic prizes. Now, if you'd like to join in the best conversation in talk journalism, since we're talking impeachment today, it's been forced upon us by the filing of one Democrat articles of impeachment before the House of Representatives. I'm glad to always put naysayers to the head of the line. If you think Donald Trump should be impeached, by all means, call the show and make your best argument. 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk at LarsLarson.com. This is Honestly Provocative Talk Radio for the United States of America. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Lars Larson Show, and on Facebook, it's The Lars Larson Show. And who is this crazy Democrat from California? He is Representative Brad Sherman, who formally introduced the articles of impeachment against President Trump today, accusing the president of obstructing justice during the federal investigation of Russia's 2016 election interference. Yeah, the election interference that apparently the Russians tried but didn't accomplish. Because if they interfered with our election, why would they want to get Donald Trump as the president? I've told you this before. It's a question I don't think you're going to hear any other mainstream reporter ask. But here's the question. Why would the Russians want Donald Trump? Donald Trump was a cipher to most of America. Do you think he was not a cipher to Russia? That's one. Two, Donald Trump promised to produce more American energy by drill, baby, drill. Hillary Clinton promised to shut down energy production. That would have been good for the Russians. Donald Trump promised to expand it. That would have been bad for the Russians and is going to be bad for the Russians. Well, Sherman argues that Trump's abrupt firing of James Comey as FBI director in May amounts to obstructing justice amid the probes of whether Trump's campaign colluded with the Russian government to swing the election. Well, first of all, on that charge, there has been more than a year of investigation about alleged Russian interference in the election. We knew about it all, or at least the president and the government knew about it, all the way back to June of last year. And what has that investigation produced? Nothing. Exactly nothing. Now, if there was some evidence that there was collusion, President Obama should have acted on it in June or July or August or September or October of last year. And why didn't he? Because he didn't have a clue. He even told network reporters there is no chance that Donald Trump can win. And I think he didn't go in and try to do something about what he thought might have been Russian interference because he thought Hillary Clinton was going to win. I would make the argument that the Russians actually wanted Hillary to win. I've given you some of the examples. Hillary was at least a known quantity to the Russians. They knew that she had tried to do that goofy reset with Russia. They knew that her former boss, Barack Obama, had promised and delivered to the Russians greater flexibility. So why in the world wouldn't they want Hillary Clinton? Maybe, just maybe, Barack Obama thought if the Russians are interfering, it'll actually help Hillary win. And he had no expectation at all that Donald Trump was going to win. Glad to get your phone calls and emails at 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk at LarsLarson.com. And coming up in a moment, the latest freakout from the anti-Trump crowd over Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with a Russian lawyer is more hot air than anything else. We'll talk about it with James Robbins from USA Today, and you're listening to The Lars Larson Show.
Vote in today's quick poll now at LarsLarson.com.
And send me your emails, talk at LarsLarson.com. I advanced the theory that I think the Russians would have much preferred to have Hillary Clinton. And Art writes in from Nevada, Lars, Of course the Russians wanted Hillary to win. She's already shown she could be bought for a few billion dollars, while Donald Trump has a reputation of being a hard-nosed negotiator. Why would the Russians want to deal with a relatively unknown Trump when having Hillary in the White House would virtually ensure the U.S. government would kowtow to their every demand for the right amount of money, of course? Good to have you with me. I'll get to your phone calls shortly, but it's a great pleasure to welcome back, after too long an absence, James Robbins, columnist for USA Today and a senior fellow for National Security Affairs on the American Foreign Policy Council, and the author of several great books, including The Real Custer, From Boy General to Tragic Hero. James, good to have you back on.
Hey, Lars, how are you?
I'm doing well, and when I read your great column yesterday about the meeting that's drawn so much attention, it's practically 24 hours a day on cable news right now, about the meeting between Donald Trump Jr. and this Russian lawyer, and you pointed out that there's really not much there. It is a bit of a nothing burger, isn't it?
Oh, I would say so. I'm still trying to figure out what crime was committed or what crime was committed throughout the whole thing. I don't even know what the Russia scandal is about. But in this particular case, it strikes me that Natalie Veselnitskaya was someone who scammed her way into a meeting with Donald Trump Jr., lying about having some dirt on Hillary. And then when she got there, she talked about her pet issue, which is this Russian Sanctions Act. So I'm trying to figure out, okay, you know, it didn't look good optically where he's saying, oh, yeah, I'd love to have this meeting. But even if he did, even if she had something, where's the crime?
Well, and if I read those emails correctly, the ones that Donald Trump Jr. released publicly, they appeared to say that what was being offered was official Russian documents that were public documents. So if they were offering something that was already available and not something that had been leaked or hacked or otherwise obtained, would there have been anything wrong with the Trump campaign getting that information? Campaigns are always trying to get dirt on the other side, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, right. This is the first time ever that a campaign tried to get dirt on an opponent, right? I mean, come on. if there were such documents, I don't think there's anything wrong with campaigns getting hold of them, particularly if it's true. I mean, look at it from the standpoint of a journalist. So suppose you or I were offered these kind of documents that were true and detailed something Hillary did that might have been illegal or unseemly. I mean, wouldn't you go for that meeting?
Yeah,
I sure would.
I'd go for it. And here's the thing. If the New York Times, for example, or the Washington Post was offered documents, even documents that had been illegally obtained, for instance, James Comey's documents offered up to the New York Times, which apparently contained classified information, when the Times was offered those documents, they took them and they published a story right away. So where's the crime?
No kidding. And not only that, but they've published sensitive national security documents that were illegally obtained and leaked and hurt U.S. national security. So it's not like the journalists who are having fainting spells over this are somehow innocent of obtaining documents illegally. But in this case, it wasn't even an illegal transaction. In fact, there was no transaction.
Well, let me ask you one other thing, because this has come up, too. There are folks who say, well, this should be investigated by Robert Mueller. Well, is there a I don't have any problem with somebody criticizing Donald Trump or his son or his campaign or his manager or anyone else for trying to obtain information. Political criticism is fair game in America. But should we have, since the FBI only does criminal investigations, should we have a U.S. government agency doing a criminal investigation where there doesn't appear to be any crime that's been committed?
Probably not. But you know how it goes in Washington. Once these things are set up, they get out of control. I mean, you remember the Plame affair and Scooter Libby.
Yeah, Valerie Plame. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, his life was ruined. He didn't even do anything. And in fact, it turned out no one did anything. So you know how it goes. This is all politics. But if you're going to investigate it, I mean, as Senator Grassley said, investigate how Valerie Veselnitskaya got inside the country with no visa. How did that happen? Who was helping her get inside the country?
Well, let me see. Who was in charge? Who was in charge of the State Department and visas at the time she came in?
Well, exactly. It was during the Obama administration, and John Kerry was in charge. So how did that happen? Why was she hanging out with Obama administration officials? What was her relationship with John McCain? I'd like to know that, too. So, yeah, if you're going to investigate it, let's investigate everything. Not to mention the Hillary Clinton campaign and the DNC contacts with the Ukrainian embassy and the operation they were running out of that embassy, digging up dirt on Donald Trump. How about looking at that influence in the election?
Yeah, the dossier that appeared to come from a source overseas that now has been largely debunked, because we're not to believe that Russian prostitutes had had bedside parties with Donald Trump or other people who weren't even in Russia at the time.
Sure. Yeah. Fusion GPS. Let's investigate them. And by the way, that Russian lawyer had a relationship with them. So, you know, it strikes me there's a lot to look into if they're going to look into it honestly, which I kind of doubt.
I guess what I find scariest about this, I'm talking to James Robbins, whose columns you read in USA Today. What I find most frightening about this is, imagine if you took this to its logical extreme. If any political administration at the federal level or the state level could say, I'm running against this person, or my party is running against this candidate, I'm going to launch an investigation, even though there is apparently no crime that's been committed. In fact, no crime that's even been suggested. But if I have an investigation of that campaign, it will help to shut down that campaign or impede that campaign. If people are allowed to use the mechanisms of government, as the Obama administration, say, used the IRS against conservative Americans back in 2012 and just before, if you can do that, you could ensure that one administration or one party would maintain control for a good long time, and we become just another third world banana republic.
Absolutely. It's a pretty scary abuse of power. What I would like to know is, was the pretext that the NSA or whoever was surveilling the people on the Trump campaign who had quote-unquote contacts with, you know, foreign entities, were they using this meeting, the meeting with this lawyer, as the pretext, as the probable cause to set all this up? Because if they did, and she kind of, you know, scammed her way into this meeting in the first place, it really smells like a setup.
It does. And I don't know, James, this really stinks to high heaven, and I know they want the stink to attach to the president. You saw today that there have been articles of impeachment introduced by one Democrat member of the House of Representatives. I kind of hope that Paul Ryan, I was just telling my audience, I hope Ryan says, good, let's have a vote on it. Let's vote on it right now. If you want to impeach him, vote aye. If you don't want to, vote nay. And put this thing to bed, because I'm sick and tired of 6 months of listening to the Democrats talk about impeaching this president. You want to impeach him? Let's vote.
Yeah, you know, that might be a technique, although if they lose this vote, they'll just introduce more articles. And, you know, the next time Donald Trump sneezes, that's another article of impeachment. They won't stop on this. And if the Democrats win the House back in 2018, you can bet that one of the first orders of business in 2019 will be to enter articles of impeachment. They hate Donald Trump so much, and they are so mad that Hillary Clinton blew it and blew the election. They will do anything to take this man down.
Well, I just want to see what happens in some of those more purple congressional districts. If you put these people's feet to the fire and say to Democrats in the House, you want to vote to impeach him? Go ahead, vote. And then we'll see what the voters say to you in November of next year. I think it would be worth putting them on record. You voted for the impeachment of this president. You're in a district that's kind of blue and kind of red, a little bit of a mixture of the two. How do the voters want to treat you if you voted to impeach a president that was chosen by American voters?
Absolutely. I think it's a great idea. And you remember that a couple months ago, there was some information that Democratic leadership were trying to tell the other Democrats to kind of tone down the impeachment talk.
Yep.
But they didn't think it was a good idea. So, yeah, let's let them have that vote, up or down. What do you think?
He's written a great book, one of many, The Real Custer, From Boy General to Tragic Hero. He is James Robbins, columnist at USA Today. James, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Lars.
You bet. Back in just a moment, I'll get right to your phone calls and emails, and we'll talk about a teen found dead in his bedroom. But is a video game really to blame for what happened to that teenager? You're listening to The Lars Larson Show.
The Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. By the way, what's on your summer travel list? Your wallet, your phone, your ID, your keys, and your Harry's razor, of course. There's one in every one of my travel bags. I'll tell you what, When you forget your razor, you're in trouble when you're on the road. And Harry's has everything you need for a great shave. The travel bag, the lotion, the travel size products, and each set comes with its own travel blade cover to protect that razor while it's in transit. Harry's is a high-quality shave that's better for your face and your wallet. I started using their razors years ago. Save time and money with Harry's. They're able to provide you an amazing quality shave at an affordable price by owning the factory and taking a little less in profit. They pass the savings directly on to you. Over 3 million guys have made the switch to Harry's. 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. And great news, Harry's is so confident you'll love their blades, they're giving you their set for free. Just cover the cost of shipping. Here's how to get it. Go to harrys.com/Lars. That's harrys.com/Lars. Don't wait. Get started with a great shave today with Harry's. To your calls now at 866-A-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Let's go to Tim first. Hey, Tim, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Oh, hey, Lars. Love the show.
Thank you.
I consider myself an independent. I live in Portland, Oregon. Most of my friends are left-leaning. But one thing I do hear from them a lot is, as far as impeaching Trump, is that Mike Pence then becomes president, and he's a much more terrifying prospect to liberals than Trump is, because, I mean, Mike Pence is he's way farther right, and he doesn't shoot himself in the foot. All he does is, you know, he's on TV looking stoic in like a bomber jacket on the South Korean border.
Well, Tim, you know, slow it down for a second. Tell me this. I hear this and I read this all the time, that Mike Pence is scary to liberals. What's scary about him? That he's pro-life?
Well, yeah, he's a more of a religious man than I would say.
Is that a bad thing? Is that a bad thing?
Well, to people who want to keep religion out of politics, it could.
Well, why should we keep religion out of politics? The government, the Constitution doesn't say a word about keeping religion out of politics. It says keep politics and government out of religion.
Yeah. Separation of church and state, I understand.
Now, that was a letter written by Jefferson to some Baptist ministers about how the government was supposed to stay out of their business. Do you think America would be better if we weren't a Judeo-Christian nation whose constitution shows all kinds of references to God? In fact, are you more comfortable knowing, or are you uncomfortable knowing, that the founders of this country believe that you have your rights not because of government but because of God? Because they said so.
Well, I mean, that's definitely a big question.
No, I'm asking you. I'm asking you straight out. Well, where do you think your rights come from?
So the question of, and I have this conversation all the time with somebody that I know that's very religious, but, you know, where morals come from, where...
No, I didn't ask about morals. I said, where do your rights come from? Your first, your second, your third, your fourth, the Bill of Rights... Do you believe they came because the government gave you those rights, or do you think that you got those rights because you were born and that God gave you those rights? Where do you think they come from? Because it's very important. You're old enough to know. Where do you think your rights come from?
So, obviously, the government, the whole point of the thing is, you know, the government doesn't give you your rights, because if they give you your rights, they can take it away.
That's right. So where do you think your rights, where do you think your rights came from?
You know, as far as a particular God, I wouldn't agree with that.
I'm asking you, if your rights didn't come from the God, and thank God they didn't come from government, where did your rights come from? Because I'll bet you care about your rights. You sound like a guy who cares about his rights.
I do care about my rights.
Where'd you get them?
I think, you know, people are born with rights, whether they are of any specific religion or not. I don't think it's...
Well, no, the founders didn't say you had to have a specific religion. They said you get your rights because you're born a human being, a product of God. Now, however you want to define God, and if you don't believe in God, you're free to do that. They even said you're free not to believe in God. So if you don't know where your rights come from, aren't you in danger of losing your rights? You don't even know where they came from. I bet you know where your paycheck comes from. I bet you know where dinner comes from. Where do your rights come from?
Yeah, I think the statement you said, you know, you get your rights from God. You're born a human being. You get your rights from God. I think you take God out of it, and it's still the same thing.
No, it's not. It is not at all. It is not at all the same thing, because your dog is an animal that's born. and created by God, but the dog doesn't have rights like you have rights. You have First Amendment rights. You're on the radio with me right now using those First Amendment rights.
And I appreciate that.
But you don't know where they come from.
I believe you're born with those rights, and as a human being, we human beings are entitled to those rights.
So,
and I don't think it really – I personally don't believe that – I mean, I believe in,
Do you believe in God?
Believe facts that
– Do you believe in God, Tim?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Let's go back to Pence for a moment. Tell me what's so frightening about Pence, that he believes in religion? That he believes in life? What thing is so scary about Mike Pence?
Well, I...
Tim, I think your Obama phone's giving up.
It's not an Obama. You
were in and out, so tell me what... Can you put it in words what you find so frightening about the Vice President of the United States?
So I personally wasn't saying that I find it so frightening. I'm talking to you about my
Have your friends ever explained what they find so frightening?
So, I mean, definitely gay rights.
What about gay rights?
Pro-choice. Well, I mean, I personally believe, too, that that is a purely religious thing to say, hey, you know, gay people can't get married. We don't believe it. We don't believe in that.
Why is that a purely religious thing? I think the government has no business defining who you're allowed to have your most personal, singular relationship with. Why should the government be?
I agree with that.
Okay, then why do you want the government to come and tell us, as the Supreme Court did, you have to let gay people get married? Tell me why you believe that that's the right thing for the government to dictate what marriage is and what it isn't.
No, but the Republicans things, they want to define it as a marriage between a man and a woman.
Well,
they're the ones who are trying to
Do you respect other people's cultures?
Oh, definitely.
I'll bet you're one of those people who talks about how you have to respect other people's cultures. Well, let me point some history out to you. For 6,000 years or so on planet Earth, every human society has marriage. Sometimes called by a different name in a different language, but we've had marriage. And for 6,000 years, minus 50, the last 20 or so, marriage has always been heterosexual. So if that's part of our culture, is it disrespectful to a culture that goes back 6,000 years and includes every human being who's ever existed on this planet, that marriage has always been a heterosexual institution, that for government to come in and say, no, it's not that at all?
I think you can't. I disapprove of taking away somebody's rights that I believe is their rights.
Where do you find that right? Because marriage is a word that's not even mentioned in the Constitution. So where do you find the right to get married in the Constitution?
Well, I think it's it is a big question.
No, Tim, tell me where you find that right.
I believe we have rights that are just in the Constitution. I mean, the Constitution says the pursuit of happiness. If two consenting adults,
a brother and a sister. How about a brother and a sister? Illegal, isn't it?
That.
So you're okay.
I personally think any two people that want to have, I like what you're saying. I get the government out of marriage. I don't even like it, but I think if two people want to have a civil union, if they say, hey, we're man and woman, if they say, hey, we're two 90-year-old sisters and we want these tax.
That would be illegal.
Any two people could do it.
But the government says you can't. Back in just a moment. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show.
Opinion alert. It's honestly provocative talk on the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm glad to get your phone calls and your emails at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk at LarsLarson.com. And Christy Lee McNally joins me now, who started Free Our Internet, a grassroots nonprofit set up to fight for free speech on the Internet. Christy Lee, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
So why is the left pushing this notion that having the government more involved in the Internet is somehow going to be better for any of us?
Well, I think it's being driven mostly, you know, by Google and Facebook and Twitter and the what I call the big three monopolies. I think first and foremost, they're trying to make sure that they can keep their agenda, you know, on track. They're, as we all know, most of those people on the tech left are, you know, they swing left, and they, you know, they saw in the last election cycle that they definitely tried to squelch the right voice. Many of people were censored or blocked on Twitter. You know, they had their Facebook accounts, we quote unquote, put in timeout. And I think they want to keep control of, you know, that they thought, you know, Hillary was going to be in office. So having the Title II classification for the ISPs, you know, just kind of rounded everything out. They would have control of the internet completely. And having Trump win kind of threw a wrench in that. And what we're trying to do is basically, you know, let everybody know exactly what's happening. You know, people are living their lives and not understanding, what Google is doing, what Twitter is doing, what Facebook is doing, you know, as far as trying to take over, you know, it sounds dramatic, but, you know, take over their lives. You know, they're inserting themselves in places. You know, Wall Street Journal had an article just a couple of days ago, you know, where Google paid, academic research papers, you know, paid for academic research papers supporting, you know, net neutrality, and many of those papers, you know, they didn't have to disclose that they're being paid by Google. You know, you have Amazon, you know, putting in patents so that when you're in a brick and mortar store, you do a search for a product and the only products that come up are Amazon vendors. You know, and we're trying to let people understand that we need to have, you know, the FTC needs to have control, you know, so that we can control, you know, go after Google for antitrust and do exactly what the EU just did, you know, and
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I want the FCC doing that. And I guess I wonder
FTC. So that, you know, they can, you know, because they have become a monopoly, and, you know, and they have squelched free speech. I don't know if you saw the Forbes article yesterday, where, you know, you had a person who was trying to tweet out pro repeal of the net neutrality, and they weren't allowed to do that. It kept blocking them. Twitter was blocking that kind of stuff, and that should not be, you know, if they're trying to promote a free and open internet, then we're trying to show the hypocrisy of Twitter and Facebook and Google, and that's what my job is.
Yeah, I just get concerned when I hear people say we want the government involved so that we can force this or force that. I wonder if people realize that's a knife that cuts both ways. It may work for you at times, but it's going to work against you at other times, isn't it?
It will, and I think the problem with Google is they have gotten so massive. You know, people have said to me, you know, how do we hit them? You know, how do we make them? You know, how do we make them not do the algorithms so that the searches only go to certain things? And I think what we first need to do is try to hit them, you know, in their pocketbook. If enough people, you know, go out there and start, if enough people like myself, enough groups like myself start pointing out what Google is doing, which the Wall Street Journal did a great job in doing that. And if more media kicks on to what Google is actually doing, I think their stakeholders are going to start getting nervous about that type of thing. And that's the first, that's where it really needs to come in, is the free market area, where we have to start exposing what Google is doing and Facebook and Amazon and those kind of things. And so that their shareholders and stakeholders are like, okay, we can't have this happen, because, you know, we all know public opinion starts hitting them in the bottom line. So my job is basically twofold right now. Right now we need to, you know, have the FCC know that there are people out there who want to have the Title II and the net neutrality repealed. So they go comment on the FCC website. And then the other prong is for us to get the word out there and be a louder voice than the George Soros-funded, you know, people that we see out with the signs saying keep the net open and free. But we also see the signs next to them saying ban Drudge Report and ban Breitbart. So we know that they don't really want to have the net open and free, just open and free for them.
See, and so, I want to see the government out of it, because I understand what Google's doing. Facebook, in fact, we're locked out of it right now, and not for any specific reason, but, you know, they just refuse to fix the site for some reason, and they won't tell us why, which does make me, you know, suspect that there may be politics involved in their decision if they say, let's take conservative Facebook pages and just sideline them for a while, which they have done to us effectively right now, and all our complaints to Facebook have fallen on deaf ears. But I guess my answer would be if we went back 100 years before the internet and you said there's one big newspaper in town and they publish anything they want and they won't publish the news, they won't publish all the letters we send them, I'd say then start another newspaper. Except that unlike starting a newspaper that might cost you $500 million today, starting an internet website costs essentially nothing.
Right, exactly. But the problem is right now is that they have all the tools to kind of push out their competitors. And if we repeal the Title II, then that opens up the market back again. You know what I mean? It opens things up, and it truly makes a free and open internet. And what they're trying to do is, you know, just push out all their competitors so that they're the only ones and that they are the arbiters, you know, of that. And you're right. I had this conversation earlier. It does go both ways. And I find it very ironic that they want government control of the internet because I heard your conversation earlier about being afraid of the vice president. Well, we, you know, the government is, quote unquote, in control of the internet right now. So they should be terrified that, you know, that the government would take down the Daily Kos or other, you know, left-leaning, you know, websites. But the thing is, the president believes in the Constitution, so he wouldn't do that.
Nope.
But, you know, that's where it gets tricky is that, you know, for us, if we didn't have an administration that believed in the Constitution, then we could have problems where your website would no longer be allowed. And, you know, the Drudge Report would be taken down and Breitbart would be taken down. And that to me is terrifying.
or every time you log on to LarsLarson.com, they also open up on the same page, Huffington Post, so that you have to read both.
Right.
So, you know, there have actually been people, Cass Sunstein, who used to work in the White House under Obama, actually believed that every time you looked up a pro-life position, that they should supply you with some pro-abortion positions as well. Christy Lee McNally, thank you very much. Former Trump Maine campaign manager who started Free Our Internet. Check it out and understand, net neutrality is what freedom-loving Americans want. Controlled by the government? No, that's for the Democrats. You got the Lars Larson Show.
The Lars Larson Show.